Welcome to another special episode of You Missed It. We are at VIFF again, and we saw from 2019, was it 2018 or 2019? I swear it was released last year.
I think it's 2019. It was, okay. It was made
it's coming out at a festival. It doesn't probably have an official release usually, so I'd say 2019. 2018 you probably saw just because it was like it debuted at some British festival first, and so it just gives it that date. And it probably was like in October or November or something, like end of last year. But
it hasn't been officially released
yet.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
It's just had debuts. So yeah. It's, we can claim it's 2019. We can stamp it right now. This is, hey, somewhere, I can't even remember the title anymore.
Sometimes, always, never.
Sometimes, always, never. You were released in 2019. It's official.
Yeah. And then
the debate has ended.
It'll come out worldwide in 2020.
This is the definitive release.
Yes. This screening.
And the time is now.
Little British film starring Bill Nye. If anyone remembers Shaun of the Dead, he played the father-in-law. Great role.
He's
great
also
role for Bill here, I think.
He's a great scientist, too.
he was great in Detective Pikachu. He was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not bullshitting. He's in that movie, Alex.
He is in that movie.
And Love Actually.
Yes, yeah. He's really
we're just
going to
talk about
that.
Bill for the rest of the podcast.
Bill.
Bill Nye.
Right?
But this film was about a grandfather, played by Bill Nye, whose son has been missing for the past, let's say, 20-plus years. And the British like to do their films, most of their films, in a subtle manner. And this one definitely, with regards to its comedy and its drama. This is a subtle film. This is not one of those feel-good hits of the summer. But this, I thought, was an excellent film. And I really thought the audience was very receptive to this film.
Yeah, it was a good crowd at this one. We saw this at the Vancouver Playhouse, which is in the heart of downtown, for those who aren't familiar with Vancouver too much. And I really enjoyed this film. I was immediately struck in and taken in by how it was presented, how it was shot. I swear this whole movie was shot with like two lenses throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like one wide that they used 90% of the time, and it was like one tighter just for those like looking through shit or like portrait shots that they had.
Occasional macro shot.
Yeah. But not even that, but just how it was framed, how it was presented, how it was cut. Just
Use of color, yeah.
It kind of came off as a, you know, you can see a little Wes Anderson.
A little.
Just a little, yeah.
With its colors, and I would almost call it storybook style of framing and telling a movie. Like, you read, like, old children's books, and I, you know, from side to side, that's got pictures and words in it. And they're drawn where you have to get everything into the frame, and it tells a story. And this film, to me, was that in a nutshell. Even having, like, the act breaks, having, like, a word for descriptions and all that, and the very use of, as you mentioned, Ryan, its colors. And, yeah, just the the simple, mundane comedy and just the... I want to play Scrabble so bad now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought this was an excellent film. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really good one. It's one of those like slice of life films, but not in like a happy go lucky kind of airy fairy summer romance type of slice of life. Like it's it deals with the hard stuff, but yeah, the way that it's woven with comedy and drama together, it's very much like real life. Like this, I feel like this same story could have easily been told as like a documentary, and it probably wouldn't have blinked twice. But the way that it was presented artistically, Bill Nye gives a really really good engaging performance. Like I think Alex described it best when he said subtle. Like that, it really is. There's a lot going on, but none of it is in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And the character direction was really good. I like the art direction, the visual style, and everything. I was really intrigued when they finally like go into like the main character's house. I feel like the way that that's like staged and decorated, it like, probably tells you like everything you need to know about that character. Mm-hmm. I really just kind of wish I could have paused it there, and studied it a little bit further. But Yeah, even the music kept it simple. It had just like a really, nice atmosphere. But I mean, with all of the hardships that are being discussed and the family is going through at the moment, it's kind of just a little reminder. Well, the whole movie is kind of a reminder that life goes on even when shit happens. But sometimes like you're in the heart of something that's really, really difficult to swallow with, and it's still a beautiful sunny day outside, and cars are going by on the street, and people are going to work and living their lives, even while you're stuck dealing with something that you'd probably rather not be dealing with. But that's kind of just how life is. And I guess when I say this is a slice of life movie, it's kind of like that. And you could kind of take that how you will. Some ways it's good, some ways it's a little depressing, but that's life. It's never one or the other.
Yeah. No, this is a film. I like to kind of like describe films as like, this has like no bullshit, like no real like cinematic, you know, film, you know, plot devices that you would just go, oh, come on. Or bullshit.
Yeah, it didn't feel contrived. No. Like, it felt really natural.
And some of these films, like, really heartfelt. Like the talent of a filmmaker or the writer is whether or not they will fall into those vices or those traps of like the storybook telling traps, and add in, oh, we have to amp up the third act, so something has to happen in order to keep the audience engaged.
Exactly, like with the way the story goes, I'm not going to spoil anything for those who are interested in seeing it, but like they really could have made it super cliche in the third act there, with like, you know, him going on a journey to finding his lost son and it going from there. Like, it could have been, like, they could have made it, like, that real, like, storybook fairy tale type of thing, but they avoided keeping it too contrived and actually stuck with the focused instead on the growth of the two main characters, Bill Nye's the grandfather and his elder son, and them healing and coming closer together.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing, is I thought that they were going to, like, kind of do something like that in the third act, where it was like, oh, they're going to go and do this big thing, or he's actually going to, like, find somebody or something like that. But no, yeah, they end up, they end up not going that route, which is really nice. But yeah, in terms of the film itself, I mean, the humor, I thought, throughout was really well done. I mean, most of the time it was kind of hitting, and as you said, Alex, the audience was really taking that in and stuff like that, and they were reacting and stuff. And it's always fun to see, you know, movies like that in like a big crowd and stuff like that, especially a movie-going crowd. Like, that's the difference with, like, VIFF and film festivals, and why y'all should go out to your film festival in your local town, because it's people like you, you know? And, yeah, I thought overall, I mean, there's not much to really add to what you guys really said, but I enjoyed it overall. I would say it's good. I don't know if I thought it was excellent, but I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a solid, you know, cast. Yeah, it was a solid story, kind of a small story, but it was very well told.
Yeah, the only thing, if like we had an opportunity to like say there was like a Q&A with the director or whoever was working on the set, my only question, and this is really only going to be, for those who have seen the movie, we understand why I would ask this, is artistically, I want to know why they decided to leave so much headroom and to leave them in the corners in certain shots where there's so much empty space. And I feel like some of it, I feel like the, without spoiling too much, the kind of like near the end, it kind of answers that in a sense, in a real nice way that I felt, like, especially the lasting impression, visual impression that we get from the movie, I feel like kind of answered all those at first were very awkward frames. Like, in film school, we all get a C- on some of those shots because I'm like, why'd you frame
no
them?
Headroom and
no
all that.
No headroom,
yeah.
Or there's too much headroom and they're like, the heads are like in the bottom and all that. And or they're like framing, like using a wide angle to frame a single car shot, and like, they're only in the edge, and the rest of it is all like just empty streets of them driving.
Yeah,
but I dug it. It was it kind of gave it its own flair after
and with the story of the film too. Like, it can be a visual representation of highlighting empty space and showing a person or element that's supposed to be there and isn't.
Right, and that's where the ending. I felt like the without spoiling it, answered that. Like. Mm-hmm. definitively, and I thought that was... I like that they stuck through it, though. The whole movie didn't feel like a gimmick. It felt like it was actually a part of the story and part of, like, I can't really watch this film thinking it was... I can't see this film being shot in a normal or, let's say, a ones and zeros, apples and oranges type of filmmaking. This is clearly someone who had a vision, and it amplified the movie from it just being a... you know, a TV movie about a family dealing with loss. It made it special, a little bit more unique.
And then the whole, like, Scrabble thing, too, they added and kind of added a neat touch to the whole thing. And I liked how it was, like, an hour and a half. Like, I mean, it didn't need to be any longer. I wouldn't have cut, though, anything in particular out of the movie, too. So it's, like, a really, you know, good length for the movie, I'd say.
No, it's a really well-paced film.
I agree with you, Jack. The framing was just on point. And some of those shots where it's like two-thirds of the frame is empty and one character's in there, you see that kind of degrade as the film progresses, and it becomes more two shots and coverage. And that's for a good reason as well. And like you were saying about the lenses, it's almost like a subtle fisheye lens that they were using for some of the scenic shots, which was really beautiful looking. And then some of those, I wanted to ask you about that, some of the shots where the characters in the foreground, the background is almost so out of focus, it's fuzzy. And I think that has to do with the main character and how his mindset is in the beginning of the film. But again, as we get towards the end of the film, you see a little bit less and less of that. It's still there in some of the scenic shots, but I think that out of focus is there for a good reason.
Yeah, no, the fuzziness kind of adds to the cloudiness that they're all kind of like in a daze and a dance. They're not really, you know, nothing's clear, and they're not really, they've kind of, it's a very melancholy look in a sense, because they're all kind of like going through the motions. It's not very urgent. It's not very harsh in your face. They've kind of let the light dim and let the this whole thing that's happened to them. So, yeah, like it didn't seem, like I said, nothing felt like it was off or a mistake or just a happy accident that they decided just to utilize it. Everything seemed like it was done on purpose. It had a point, you know, even the ones that they held on to for a while and slowly push in. Like, there was one shot outside of a window, and it's hanging on for the longest time. And, it, you know, you're almost kind of like, cut it. When is it going to cut? But you're holding it. And then when it does cut, it's a bit almost like a laugh. And it works. So it keeps you a little on edge, because it's almost baiting the audience to kind of lean in a little more, like... Okay.
And the fact that it was silent, like, for that moment, too, I'm like, I think I was probably actually physically leaning a little bit, like, okay, like, this is a moment. What's gonna happen? But yeah, I think with this movie, too, you're sometimes laughing when you're not expecting to, which keeps it from being a huge downer. Because, like, it is a melancholy movie, and like with the subject matter and the things that it deals with, but it's not like Manchester by the Sea melancholy.
No.
Like, you're laughing a lot more, and you're seeing a lot more light in the distance with this type of movie. And I think I think probably part of the reason, too, that maybe the crowd was so receptive is that I just find it, like, just really relatable. Like, I mean, not everybody has gone through this exact situation that's happening in the movie, but, like, the humor is really relatable. The characters, like, we probably all know somebody like that or have experienced, like, a relationship or something like that in that... sort of family dynamic. I mean, because everything has pros and cons. Nothing there is no perfect relationship, whether it's a family or a significant other. So I feel like in the struggles that are illustrated on the screen, kind of everybody can find something to relate to, and then you can also find common ground in the brighter points as well.
And we learned something really important too, is why Canada doesn't get marmalade either.
Marmite.
Marmite?
No, Marmite.
I thought it was Marmalade.
No, we have Marmalade.
And we have,
That's our
we have Marmite too, FYI. I thought that was kind of weird. Because Marmite is at No Frills. I walk by the aisle and I see Marmite. So I was like, what are you talking about, Mil Nye?
Is it actually like Marmite?
We have
or
Marmite.
Or is it like No Name?
No, it says Marmite on it. And it's like, okay, there's little bottles of it. It's expensive too. But no, we have it. I mean, what are you talking about, dude?
Maybe they got smuggled in.
Maybe it's like
maybe.
That
No Frills got a smuggler.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like that. Authentic Miak stuff from
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Authentic Bulgarian Miak.
And obviously that joke got the biggest pop out of everything.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything like, oh, they're referencing our country.
Yeah. That always works.
And you know how the saying goes, the English have a saying, take the piss. Well, yeah. We Canadians, we took the piss on that joke.
Totally.
Yeah. It was well deserved.
Yeah, the humor was really consistent too. It was consistent from beginning to end, like from the very beginning of the movie, it's funny to like even the end. And stuff like that. There's kind of humor sprinkled throughout, and it all generally lands.
Yeah,
quite well. That was definitely like a high point, I think, of the film overall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was another solo pick from Viv so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that was good. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Same here.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Cool.
I think this was the only showing, though, wasn't it?
I think there was two, but this might be the last. This might be the last one.
Mm.
Yeah, because there's usually two with almost every movie. They have two, generally, unless it's like a special screening. There's only one, like the one I'm about to see. But yeah,
as you can see, we're right in the thick of Viv right now, so we're gonna have a lot more material out for you guys sooner than later. That's for sure.
Sometimes, always sometimes.
And like I was saying to Jack before we started, it would be hilarious if the amount of episodes we do for Viv is equal to or greater than the amount of episodes we've done since we started this podcast 2 years ago.
I don't think so, because I mean, unfortunately, we're not getting together with every film, you know what I mean? We're kind of doing the roundup or whatever, like, at the end. We're going to do the old roundup.
Maybe we should specify that for our listeners. So.
They'll find out as we post these episodes.
Well,
they're going to learn about it.
I know, but, like...
You're going to learn.
So, yes, they'll...
Always, you're going to learn.
So, listeners, you will be aware, clearly, of the episodes that we see with two or more of your YMI members, but some of us are going to be branching out throughout this festival and seeing films solo. And the plan is very shortly after the festival wraps, hopefully within that same week there, we're all going to get together and do a little Viv roundup recap thing of all the films that we saw on our own. So you guys have that to look forward to as well.
Yeah, it'll be sexy.
It's going to be great. Yeah, lots of material.
Lots of movies.
Lots of Zach saying this is sexy and this is not sexy.
Yeah, sexy, not sexy, you know, hardwood. Bring that back.
Yeah, we had the wood. We had the wood, right? Yeah, that was good stuff.
Andrew's Douglas fir scale.
Oh my god.
Four Douglas firs to be exact.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should get to the next movie then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.